start bomb it off. So Perek Lamed was Ogur bin Yaker, and the Gral learns it was actually Chacham Ogur bin Yaker. And Lamed Aleph is Divrei Lemuel Melech. Lemuel is Lemuel. Now here, this is interesting, there's not a stira, but the Gaon says two different things. Here, the Gaon says Lemuel is Taka Melech Shleimei. This is Taka Melech Shleimei, and it's called Lemuel. It's not even clear what this means. He says, Shalomai Kale or Shalmai Kale? Lamai Kale, if the word is Lamai, Shalomai Kale, Lamai is Lai. It's an older firm. They find the Chumash that said of Lo, to him, Lamai is to him. So Lamai Kale means the Avishter looked after him, meaning to say that even though Shlomo was Nanash for all of his Averis, it came because of the chavivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for him. And that was really a haftacha by David HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David HaMelech that even if I will be miyaser, your son, because of his chatoyim, it will be a sign of chiba. So Shalom Aikel means HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after him. But it's interesting that the Gra earlier, if we go back to Chaf David, the Gra actually says that the Anshei Knesset Sagdela, they were misapeach to Mishle, the words of Chachamim like Ogur ben Yaakeh and Lemuel. So according to that, Lemuel was somebody else. Now the problem is we don't know who he is. Mishlema Ogur ben Yaakeh Stavazai Chacham. Lemuel was a melech. We don't know what melech he is, what country he is. But Rashi does learn, really Chazal also in a way, that is going on Melech Shmomo. And the pasuk goes on and says, it's a masa. A masa is a heavy burden, asher yisrata imai, that his mother gave him teichacha. So Rashi Lishitasai says that this is going taka on Shlomo HaMelech. And Rashi brings, the Gemara doesn't bring the medrash for whatever reason, but the Rashi brings a very, very strong medrash. And the medrash is that the same day that the Chanukah Sabayis was finished was the day that Shlomo married Bas Parah. And that night, he slept very late. The Chasna went out very late. And he didn't wake up. It was already after the Zman of the Tamid. But since he had the Nartekas, he had the keys of the Mikdash under his pillow, they had to be ma'acher the tamid for 4 hours. So Mamela, he overslept, and the whole Avodah of Klal Yisrael was delayed. So his mother, who was Bathsheba went to wake him up. And you're going to see that she gives him teichacha about two inyanim, not to drink too much wine, and not to dissipate his strength to women. So, because both of them were connected to Bas Parah and also the Yanni. That's the Medrash that Rashi brings. The Yisrata Imai is Bat Sheva gave him Teichacha. And she starts off with the following. Ma Bari, Ma, this paragraph, Ma Bari, Umar Bar Bitni, Uma Bar Nidora. So Bari, what is it, my son? What is it, the son of my betem that came out of my womb, my stomach? Uma bar nedora, and what is it with you, the son that came because of all the nedoring that I made to the Eishter? So obviously, as the guy always goes on these pratim, she is really describing her relationship to her son in three ways. My son, the son of my betem, the son of my Nidorim. And the Ma, in all cases, she's saying, Ma, what happened to you? How could you be this way? Ma. So what are the three Lashonis? So the Gra says, Shebishleishes Manim Adam Nidbat V'Karei V'Nipshach Acharima. There are three times in a person's life that he is especially attached to his mother, that the Ruach Ha'Ein, the spirit of the mother, is connected to him. One is the most obvious, Bimei Yibor, when she's pregnant. So remember, the whole shaykhus of the blood is to the aim, much more than to the av. The second is Leda. Well, I'm not not sure if later means the moment of birth or later just means infancy. But in infancy, there's a machlokes. There's a chibur, and the other says, the third is ad sholeish yesh reishana. Now, I'm not sure. I mean, logically, I don't know why you're counting it as a second and a third. I mean, if you're telling me that a child is mechubur to his mother till the age of 13, and after 13 he then becomes more mechubur to his father, so why have to say ibur and then say until 13? Like, what's the left reader between Leda and up to Yud Gimel Shana? But again, I think the guy just suggested that early infancy, which might even refer to the nursing period of 24 months, that's a, in other words, Ibor is the absolute closest, and then you have infancy, where there's nursing, and then even as a child, the child is closer to his mother in many ways. The father is working, and the father is learning all day, so Mimela is such an Ivan, there is still a greater connection to the mother. But, he tells, once the child is already bar mitzvah, then it's shayra Allah ruach av, then the av is more of an achrayas, he's the chayim of mitzvahs, etc. So Bat Sheva is basically tiny that Shlomo is mechuper to her with these three chiburim. So Bari, my son, in other words, he's going in reverse order. Bari means he was my son until he was 13. So I was Machanechem. Bar Bitni is referring to the time that he emerged from the Beten, which is the Zman of the Leda. And Bar Nadarai is while she was pregnant and even before she was pregnant, because it was the Derech of Nashim Sidkaniyais to make Nadarim to Hashem that if they have a good, healthy child, they will give something, Staka, or the like. So she's basically saying, look at how much I care about you. I took care of you for 13 years. And then when you were in the womb, except when you were born as an infant, I took care of you. And then, Bar Nadari, before you were born, I made Nadari. And the Medrash Taka says, all of the royal women made Nadarim, saying, if Hashem will give me a child that'll get Malchus, I'll give so-and-so to Staka. But my Nadarim were that I should have a Ben Hogun Batayra. Right? So she's saying it's a Chaval, that all of the Tircha, all of the work, all of the Avaita, all of the Tfilas, all of the Nadarim were that you should be a Tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, and a person that's a Makutra to Taira. And now she's giving him Taircha. It's called a Masa, a burden, a Taircha. That he's not living up to that masa, right? And that's Bar Nadarai again. This is Hakei Medrash. Kol Hanoshim Shalavicha. All the other wives of David HaMelech. Hayu Nidrashi Shulahem Ben Hogan L'Malchus. Vani Nadarti Sheyali Ben Hogan Batayra. Okay. So this is Bat Sheva. So she goes on and gives a very direct musar. And the very direct muster is, Al titein manoshim chelecha. Do not give to women your strength. And this is lo yarba lo noshim shematishas kaychet. The Rambam has a whole arichas. The Rambam says, as a doctor he writes this, the Rambam says, shichvas zera is the kayach of a person. That's why it's called aini. Aini is lashon of kayach. Reishis aini. With an olive. And Bemela, the Rambam says, when a person has marbe and tashmish, it matish the kaychei shalotah. But it's not just a physical thing, it's also psychological. In other words, a lot of a person is mechuyev to be married and have a relationship with his wife, but if a person makes that physical relationship the dominant aspect of his life, especially when the women are not holding on a madrega of kedusha, it can mamish take away all of his ruchnis and kikayas. So it's both physically, the shichva zera is matish kaychei shalotah, and spiritually. So do not take your strength, which could go to Torah, and give it to your women. Udrachecha, and your derech eretz, meaning the tashmish, because the Rav quotes the pasuk, ki hishchis by the marble, Hishchis kol basar es darkai al haaretz. You see that darkai refers to the derech tashmish. So do not be Isaac b'tashmish, limchais malachim. So limchais, the Gras says, is a lashon of fat women. Nechem are fat animals. I mean, it's a getter of bizayim, but women that are magushim, are physical. They're not ruchani. So her first taichik, again, I mean, obviously, how do you apply it to our life? He basically is saying that when you look for a wife, you look for a wife that has values of ruchni, its values of kedusha, midas taivais. If you're looking for a wife only because she's beautiful, that's as if you're looking for a fat wife. Now, again, I understand that we don't say fat is beautiful either, but fat means magushim, physical. It's like the ikker is how much gashmias is there. So, b'derech b'zayin, she calls it fat, because all there is the physicality without the confusion. So that is the first, nikuda. And the second nikuda she talks about is indeed, she's telling him, don't get drunk, don't drink a lot of wine. Because that's
what's the point in the second half of the pasuk?
Well, the second half of the pasuk is repeating the first part of the pasuk, but it's emphasizing in a lashon of bizayon. It first just says, don't dissipate your strength in tashmish. And the second is, don't hang around with fat women. Now, that's a lashon of bizayon, because what he's basically saying is, to make shiduchim based on physical attractiveness, where the only thing that matters is the physicality, so it's like she's a piece of meat. There's nothing more there than the meat. So she's repeating it basically, but she's saying it with derech bizayim to make Shlomo realize that if Shlomo is marrying Bas Parai, and good, the Rambam says Bas Parai technically had a Davis. Shlomo loved to not marry people who were goyim. But it wasn't a zageris, the Shem Shemayim. It certainly didn't have the Madrega of Kedusha. She's basically saying that to make a shidduch and that Madrega is like marrying a piece of meat. This is the lesson. She's using a very, very stark lashon. That's what the Gra says. Because libchais is from the word mechem. Mechem means fat animals. Right? Korbanos mechem. You bring a fat animal as a korban. So she's telling him, you're marrying a piece of meat. There is no kedusha there. And Menela, all that's going to happen is that these wives that you marry are going to drag you down as they already dragged you down. The Torah itself says that even if we would be marbed nashim sitkaniyas, another is not allowed to be marbed nashim. That means you're more than 18. Why? Pen yosu lababai, lest it will take away your heart from your responsibilities and from your avodas Hashem. And Shlomo HaMelech is a chacham mikol adam, so Shlomo HaMelech says, I can take it. I'm different. I have the chachma. It's not going to drag me down. And what happens, of course, he thinks he's a bigger chacham than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's talking Yishol. The Gemara in Sanhedrin even says, this is why the Torah doesn't like to give reasons. Because once the Torah gives reasons for mitzvahs, so each person becomes a bala bas and says, that's the reason. The reason doesn't apply to me. Right? It's like doctors. Doctors, that's a little different legally. Doctors didn't like to give reasons for horos, because the doctor told you, this is the reason, so you make a, that reason doesn't apply to me, etc. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to give, because there was a kusuf. If there's a kusuf, you can't question. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says that this was the case where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tab to teach us that people learn Masha, fool themselves by thinking the tab doesn't apply to them. So, this is the first taikach she's giving him. And the second taikha, she says, is wine. Wine is a dangerous thing. Again, I mean, some of this is common sense. You see, the Gra says, nice to you, given the psukim. She's basically saying, on one hand, there is tagayin of yayin yisamach levav enesh, that wine, alcohol, can give a person simcha. And fakert, when a person is besimcha, it can open his heart to ruchnius. There is Sage Akesha Bechlam in Panemius between Yayin and Tyre. Tyre is also called Yayin. Besides water, Tyre is also called Yayin. And Bifrat, the Chachma of Kabbalah, is called Yayin. Halacha is called Mayim. And Shanim of Seir are called Yena Shel Teira. Yena Shel Teira. So on some level, there actually is an idiom that Yayin is Poseach the Lave to be Maven, the Panemius of Teira. Their body is such and such a Muslim. That's why the Kiddush of Shiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Brachas, are said over wine. But, too much of a good thing, right? A person gets B'shichras, a person gets B'haylovas, then that's not Simcha Shal Mitzvah anymore, right? Because I'll say that you can only be Omen L'Tfilah mitach Simcha Shal Mitzvah, but then there's Simcha Shal Haylovas, which is called as bread, right? So you're giving him Teichah and saying, gotta watch the drinking. Now, the Gemara points out that there's some interesting lashonis here. He says, Al lamlochim lemuel, al lamlochim shesoy yayin, ulerayzmin e sheikhor. So, al lamlochim, not for kings, tama lemuel, not for kings is the drinking of wine, and for reiznim. Now, reiznim means lawmakers. Okay, we'll see the difference. So, obviously, one issue is what are malachim and what are reiznim. And a sheikhor, a means there shouldn't be, like ain sheikhor, intoxicating drink. So, obviously, the chilukim that we have to be aimed on is what's a melech and what's a reizain, and what's the nafkamina between yayin and shechor, right? And why, l'gabe the nelech, do we tell him, don't drink wine? And l'gabe the reiznim, we say, don't drink shechor. The basic message is obvious. She's telling Shlomo that if the yayin is used in snus and in taiva and in excess, it leads to bad things. So first of all, the Gra says the following. The Gra says that shechor, unlike the Lashon of the Gemara, where shechor is anything that intoxicates you, including beer. Here, the Gra says shechor is also yayin, but it's yayin, very powerful alcoholic, so that it intoxicates you right away. Now, who again? I guess whiskey would be the same thing. In other words, something that makes you drunk right away. And yayin is something that takes a long time. Right? So that's what he says. So what we'll call yayin is basically weaker, and sheikhar is basically stronger. That's why it wouldn't be beer. Beer is for kids. Beer has usually less alcohol than most wine. Right? So sheikhar would be more like either very strong wine or whiskey. I don't know what type of whiskey they had in those days, but okay. So the nafkamina between a melech and a rosein is the following. A melech is a king, and rosnim are judges, are shoftim. So the melech makes the laws. The melech makes the general laws in those days. The rosnim are the judges who have to adjudicate controversy. So here he tainus the following. The grad tainus from other psukim, that, he quotes a pasuk. What does he say? He has a pasuk that says, in Yeshayo, look at the lashon. Hoy mashkime babaiker sheikhar yirdaifu. Alas, for those people who get up early in the morning and they chase after sheikhar, me'achere baneshef, and late at night, Yayin yadlikam, they get ignited, they get burnt with wine. So you'll notice, just on that pasuk in Yeshayo, that the people in the morning get sheikhar, and the people at night are drinking wine. What's the pshat? So he says like this, he says, it's an interesting question, he says, in the morning, most people go to work. So if you want to drink before you go to work, you don't have time, as it were, to get drunk on wine. It would take too long. In other words, you don't have 2 hours to drink wine leisurely. So if you want to get drunk before work, you need sheikhar. Because we're talking about people whose life is so unbearable that even when they go to work, they have to be drunk. So if you have to be drunk before you go to work, you have to have sheikhar. Because yayin would take too long, right? So memela, the mashkimei boiker who want to be shikar,
They got to do Shechar. At night, you're home, you have 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you can leisurely drink wine. So he says, a guy that wants to get drunk in the morning will need Shechar, because he needs to go to work. Now, all this is an interesting association, because most of us might think, well, gee, if the guy's going to get drunk, he's not going to go to work. The Gra is touching up the pasuk that these are the people who, you know, there are people who do, let's say, especially if you do manual labor sometimes. Well, you wouldn't want to be drunk if you're driving a tractor or a truck, but, you know, people schlep around things, and they're drunk, you know. I mean, you see, they're telling you, you know, who are drunk. So Mimele, he says, the guy that gets drunk before he goes to work in the morning is going to be Shechar, and the people who have a long night ahead of them, they take their time, they can drink Yayin. And that's why the Mashkimei Biker are Shechar Yerdaifu, and the Ma'achrei Beneshev, right, is Yayin Yadlikam. The Yayin will ignite them, will burn them up. So Mimele, he tines like this. He tines, this is the difference between a melech and a shofet. A shofet has to work every day. A judge has litigation every day. So the judge, in the morning, has to have shechar. The melech, even in the morning, can have yayin, because the melech, you know, the melech can start his day. First of all, b'nei melachim anyway get up at 3 hours, and whatever, the melech can, right? So the melech is just a diyuk that a melech will tend, and first of all, you can even see off the chart that a melech has a higher sophistication of taste. So he'll take a fine wine instead of some whiskey or something like that. Now, the common message basically is that the melech and the reizein have to avoid all of these things, but the Gra just says the melech is given the warning of avoiding wine because the melech has the time to take his time drinking, so he'll go with wine. The judge who has to show up to work every day is going to use shechar. Now again, you see, obviously, if a judge shows up, a dayan shows up drunk, he's not going to be able to do a very good job, and that's what he's saying. And the melech who's drunk also can't do a job. So the melech should not drink yayin, and the reisnim should not drink shechar. And the reason is,
what is it? I wine for the malachim. Why shouldn't they drink even the weak wine?
No, that is the weak one. Oh, why? Well, no, because eventually they'll get drunk. That's what he's saying.
We're talking
about people who are going to get drunk. But the pshat is, the melech has the time to get drunk on wine. The judge doesn't have the time. He needs to get drunk on shechar, unless he does it at night.
Interesting. Yeah. I saw this first song, Mishnah and Avos.
Yeah.
It talks about shechar shel boker and it talks about yayin.
Right.
So he says, the whole mission is talking about in moderation, these things are all good. You need some sleep, you need some wine.
Right.
He says you need wine because in the morning, people would have wine to wake themselves up. It sounded like that was their coffee. Like they would have strong wine to like give themselves a boost. And that's like the end.
Well, maybe that's good. So that might be another pshat why in wine. The biker, we only condemn shechar. That's different than the Gra. The Gra says that they don't have time to get drunk on wine, so they need shechar. You're saying a little different. You're saying that in the morning, wine was actually good. That's a good pshat for that pasuk, why the Mashkimei Biker are condemned because of Shechar. But it doesn't really fit here why we're telling the Melech not to drink wine. But here the Gra says that the warning is not to get drunk, but the Melech will use the wine. Now, the pasuk then says, what's wrong with Yayin and Shechar? So it gives you two expressions. One is going on the Melech and one is going on the Reisnim. And that is, Hen Yishteh, V'yishkach mechukak, v'yishaneh din kol b'nei ayni. So as the Gra often does, I mean, this is a very common technique of parshanos that the Gra has, because Mishle often will say two ideas, and then say two ideas in the next pasuk. So the Gra says, you know, one part of pasuk Beis is connected to one part of pasuk Aleph, and the other part of Pasuk Beis is connected to the other part of Pasuk Aleph. So the Gra says, if the preceding Pasuk tells me Malachim shouldn't drink wine, and Reisnim shouldn't have Shechar, so in the next Pasuk where it gives two reasons, one reason is Keneged the Reisnim, and one reason is Keneged the Melech, and it goes by the last one first. So the way we would describe it in literary terms, it's an A-B-B-A, as my decium, that which we finish, we begin. Right? A-B-B-A. So pen yishta, the yishkach mechukach, that is going on the rosein, right? The rosein's job is to be a mechaikek. A mechaikek is a paskiner of law, a decider of cases. If he drinks yayin, he drinks shechar, he will forget his job to be a mechaikek. Now, what about the melech who drinks yayin? V'yishana din kol b'nei ayni. So here, the Gra explains the following. The role of a king in ancient times, and this was true by the Umas Ha'ilam as well, and even today it's true about a president. One of the roles of a king, even though a king is not directly involved in paskening and adjudicating cases, but if somebody held there was an avla, they could go to the king for rachmanas or to change the law. An example would be a pardon, right? Somebody gets convicted of a crime. Okay? The law is the law, whatever the law is. But they could apply to the president or a governor for a pardon, for a forgiveness. So the melech had the same idea. The melech had a kayach, even if, let's say, a dayan paskin al bidin Torah, but the melech had a kayach of hefker beis nefer or other inyanim, where the melech could be meichel, the melech could be mevater. So the mechaikek who gets drunk is not going to be able to paskin halacha, or whatever the din is. The melech that's drunk will deviate from the din of b'nei ayni. Now, what is b'nei ayni? So the Gra has an interesting translation. B'nei ayni does not mean impoverished people, but it means people whose din was unfair. So somebody whose din was unfair, and he comes to the melech for rachmanos. If the melech is a shikur, he's not going to be able to properly adjust, right? So that's the way it works. In other words, so it actually follows very logical, because if the judge is drunk, he's going to come up with the krum din. Elomai, you go to the melech to be misaken, the melech is drunk too, right? So that's why it goes that way. That the mechaikek is going to make a tais, and the melech will not be able to be misaken, the b'nei ayni, the avla that was done to the afflicted. B'nei ayni means the afflicted person. It's not referring to the affliction of you know, the baal din against him. It's the affliction of the court itself. The mechaikek did something, was ma'ana him, and he will not be able to get it corrected. Right? That's the cheshvan.
Both these things, yep. Like Shana, was he considered like a lawmaker? He was dying?
Well, the gross chiluk between a melech and a mechaikek can also be a single person. I mean, he's saying that these are two different roles, but avada it's shayach for a melech to also be a dayan. And then you have both issues.
Why don't we say reason to pass the gimel?
Oh, about chelchel and nashim?
Yeah,
I hear. That's a good nekuda, that you only have a pen yishte. B'chayri, he could have said, for chelchel and nashim, she could have said what the Torah says. Pen yasir levavai. Maybe that's the answer. He says that she doesn't have to repeat a tam that's given in the Torah Gufa. The Torah itself says, Riboy Nashim will be Nesir Lavava. I don't have to tell you that. But on Yayin, where the Torah doesn't say the favorites, there's anything wrong with Yayin, I have to be Madgish that Inyan as well. Now, keep in mind as well, although the Gra doesn't say it here, in many places in Mishlei and in Chazal, we say Man Malchi Rabbanan, that Malachim are the Talmidei Chacham. So Mimela, what it says here, that Pen Yishtev, Yishkach Mechaikek, etc., also applies Bechlal. And in fact, there we have halachas. This is not just Musar. We actually have halachas that a Shasa Yayin is not allowed to paskin. Right? And that's even if you drink. All right, our wine is not so strong. But according to the din, if you drink a revius, that's gorgeous, 4 ounces of Yayin Chazak, undiluted wine, You're not allowed to pasuk in a shaila until you sleep for half an hour or take a walk for a meal, whatever it is. That's why the minhag among rabbanim in Europe, it used to be, not so much today, because today everything is prepackaged, but it used to be Pesach nights. There were a lot of shaylas. People would discover a chita in the chicken, kernels. There were chametzika shaylas. So the minhag of many rabbanim was they would not start their seder, even though it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to start the seder miyad mishatechshach. They would not start their seder till 1 or 2 hours late, because they didn't want to drink a kais of kiddush and then not be able to answer a shayla. So they would mamish start late. I think the Aruch HaShulchan had a fakert minhag. The Aruch HaShulchan finished whatever he did his seder in 15 minutes. So he already would have a half an hour of Shina before people would even come with Shilas, whatever. Either way, there was such an Indian. So they're already, that's already mamish in the Torah that you can't paskin if you're a shasai yayin. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, the next pasuk actually says, pasuk vav and pasuk zayin actually say that there is a makam for Sheikhar and Yayin. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Tanu Sheikhar la'ayveit. Give strong, intoxicating drink to an oved. So an oved is a lost soul. A person who is, now we'll see the difference between Mari Nefesh and Oved. The Gemara always goes on this. But an oved is a person who feels so despondent, sabrachet, that he's lost. In fact, the word that happens is the word oved is actually connected to destruction as well. Slav Dafka is something lost. It's oved, someone who is get destroyed. Like the oved me'eretz Ashur. And Yayin goes l'marei nefesh. And this is the Pasuk Zayin, because Yishta, when these people drink, Yishkach Rishai, they forget their poverty, the amalai, and the toil and difficulties of their life. Lo yiskarait. I mean, it's interesting that after she's telling Shlomo not to drink, she actually mentions the positive benefits of alcohol for the oved and the marei nefesh. You forget your poverty and your toil, and therefore we give it the oved, the amalai. It's now interesting. Okay, what's Oved, what's Marei Nefesh, and what's Rishai and Amalek? Okay, we'll see in a second. But what's interesting is that Gemara Ksuvis actually quotes this pasuk as the basis of a takana that we don't follow today. We don't follow. It's interesting. That's, particularly in Hilchos Avelos, you see a number of pratim where the Hanhagas today is Mamish Keneged the Din of the Gemara. For example, we don't really have a Tivas HaReish. An Avel is supposed to cover his head, wear a shawl that goes over his eyes. We're not knowing about Tifas HaReish, although some people say an Avel should wear a hat low. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Some people are mahader in Hilchos Avelos to wear a hat very low over their face, to have a bissel kiyum of a Tifas HaReish. Kfiyas Hamita we b'chlal don't have. So one of the minhagim that we don't have in Avelos, the Gemara Ksuva says, they were misakin Asara Kaisis Bebesa Avam. Very strange zak. The Avelim and the Mishtatfin in the Avelis would drink 10, I don't know, is this every day of Shiva? It's not even clear if it was only once or every day. They would drink 10 Kaisis Bebesa Avam. And they would say Tfilas in between and Nichumim in between. And they would drink. And Chazal based it on this pasuk. Tanu Sheikhe Li'ayved, and Avel is Sabrachin. He should drink. And contrary, some people make a mistake. I mean it's Pashut mistake, but some people make a mistake that an Avel is Asher B'yayin. That's 100% not Emes. An Einan before Kavura is Asher B'basher B'yayin. An Avel is Mudr B'basher B'yayin. That's why I think people get mixed up, because on one hand we say that the 9 days, we have minhage avelus, and we don't have basar v'yayin. But the emes is, the novel during Shiva is allowed to have basar v'yayin, and the like. So chazal were kaveya, asara kaisis v'vesa avel, based on tenu sheikher li'ayveit, v'yayin l'marei nefesh. Why Taka do we stop it? So the Rush brings from the Ga'anim already. In the time of the Ga'anim, they stopped the custom for the obvious reason. People were getting too drunk. I mean, the idea was not, even Snu Sheikh of the Yayveh, the concept is not that he should be a shikr, but that he should feel a little more simcha to get over the tsar, but not that he should be pashit a shikr gomer. You know, this is like Lahavdil, this is what the Irish do. The Irish have what's called a wake, an Irish wake. As I said, they get drunk. This is what they do. So that's why the Ga'anim were mavatal the minute.
The Gemara in Shabbos is mashma that Avelis and everything you do for the mace is like covered the mace.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting thing if they were talking something that seems like, we should daven mitzvah a little bit or during the meal of Avelis, at least, you know, for the covered of mace. It's not so much a dinner of the person himself, but rather for the mace.
It's a balance. In other words, the Gemara says by Hespet, there's a Shabbat by Hespet. Why do we give Hespet? Do we give Hespedim the chavah to the mace? Or do we give Hespedim to give cover to the chai, that the chai has a mishpacha, that you're maspid, and the Gemara gives nafkaminas? If it's not cover the mace, if the mace says, don't give me a hesped, we would listen to him. If it's not cover the chai, we wouldn't. Or the either kisa, if it's not cover the chayim could be mavatra and the Hespedim, if it's not cover the mace, not. So the Gemara's Maskana is, it's really a combination of both. And even the Chama, Nicham of Elam, is also to help them get over it a little bit. Now, so basically Vatsheva is saying, for an Oved and a Marei Nefesh, good, they have to drink, but it's not for a Melech and not for a Mechaikik. Now, what's the Nafkamina Stamazai between Oved, just in terms of the words, Oved and Marei Nefesh? So the Gemara says, an Oved is a person who's totally tzibrachim. Mazlei ra ma'od b'chol asher yifne. In other words, he pashut has no mazel at all. Everything is bad. His health is bad. It's not just money. In other words, a marmei nefesh, he tainis, is an ani. So an ani is poor. Being poor is hard, but the rest of his life might be okay. He could have a mishpacha, he could have children, he could have friends. An Oved is somebody who's pashut lost, like nothing is working out for whatever reason. So as you would expect, the Oved has so much saras in his life, he has to have Shechar. If he just has Yayim, he's still going to cry over his sar. The Shechar literally knocks him out. You know, the Shechar, he's oblivion. The Mar Nefesh, who's an Ani, so the Yayim will give him the shtickle more simcha, etc. Right? That's why we have a chilek. He says the Oved has so many tzaras, he has to be a shikr miyayid asher lo yada klal. Calls mantra dain zaychei tzarasav, who masker tzarasav. V'cheira mitznu sheikha li Oved, chazak miyayid. He should be a shikr, yayin lamari nefeshu ani. And similarly, that's the next pasuk. Yishte v'yishkach rishay. The ani drinks yayin, and that's enough to make him forget his poverty. Right? A poor guy could be happy, you know, if he doesn't think about it too much. But for the Oved, all of the toil of his life, he has to totally not remember it all. Okay. Now, after this little detour of the benefits of wine, now again, it's interesting that in the Sefer HaChachmei it tells you this, because you might think, like, you know, why does Bathsheba, why does Shlomo have to put in that wine is good? I mean, you see that in the middle of a condemnation about not getting drunk, there's also a minion of stressing that things have a positive function in life, too. And that's b'chol an important idea. You know, we say the Nazir is a chayte because he's Sier Atzman and Ayayan. The Nazir is a chayte. So you see that even when we condemn something because it can lead to all sorts of bad things, there is a makom in life for these things to exist. That the Marei Nefesh, the Oved, should have some way to be more besimcha. Now, the next thing is going back to the Mechaikek, and here Chazal used this pasuk a lot as well. What is the job of a Melech and a Shepet? Shlomo was both. Psach Picha Le'ilei. Open your mouth for the person who is mute and unable to talk. Now, this doesn't mean literally he's unable to talk, but it means that a Baal Din sometimes comes to Beis Din. Maybe he's the Teveya, or maybe he's the Nitva, and he's not able to express himself. He's not able to get out exactly what the story is. Now, a Dayan is not supposed to give somebody Tainus, right? That's the Lach of the Adam. But if the Dayan sees that the person, you know, doesn't understand how to tell the story, the Dayan is supposed to help him be Masader, either his Tainus or his defenses, based on what the, you know, what the Dayan sees the Matzav is, in order that he should be able to present a case. So this is called Psach Picha Le'ile. Not only that, but from here, Chazal or Kaveh, actually very important yisayid in Tcheshin Mishpat, the din called Taininan Liyasmi is based on this book. What is Taininan Liyasmi? Let's say the father owed money. The father was a leiva. The father dies. The yisayimim don't know, was there pirayin, was there not pirayin? Was there some defense that maybe the malva was meichel the money or whatever it would be. So, taininan liyasmi means whatever taina would have worked had the father been able to taina it, we will taina for the assignment even though they don't have the knowledge to be able to taina it. Now, obviously, if it's a taina that the father wouldn't be naman, taininan is not going to be better than the father's taina. But the makor of taininan liyasmi, a good example would be a shtar, right? A shtar sheinu makoyim. If I go, right, if I'm a malva, and I have a shtar, and the shtar has the chasima of two edim, but the shtar was not makoyim and based in, there's no kiyum shtaris. So if I go to a leiva, v'shteitzach, a leiva kitaina, the shtar is mezuyif. If the leiva taina is the shtar is mezuyif, as I forged it, I cannot manai, I cannot collect with that shtar unless I'm mekayim it. How am I mekayim it? I either bring the Adam who signed, and each person is neman to say, Zek Sab Yodi. Right, all you need is, you know, Ruvain is made on Ruvain, Shimon is made on Shimon. Or if you can't get Ruvain and Shimon, you have to get two Adam who could be made that this is Ruvain and this is Shimon. You can have four Adam if you need, two on Ruvain, two on Shimon, or the same two Adam. Or there's a third, there are three ways you can be Makayim Mishtar. You can be Makayim Mishtar by the Adam who signed, coming and saying, Zek Sab Yodi. Or you can be Makayim Mishtar by two Adam being made Zek Sab of Ruvain and Shimon. Or, B'di'evan, Sab Yodin Yaitzei Mimakamacher, if there's another star that was Makoyim, the Beis Din can compare the chasimas on that shtar makoyim, and they could say it's the same guy, right? So once the shtar is makoyim, then the malva can manai. Now, the kiyam is only drabban, right? That's where sluggish is in. Eidam achasuman al shtar, nase kimi shenechkara edusim beBeis Din only, because what do we say? Lo chatzif inish lizayufe. In other words, Daraisa, we don't assume that a malva would have the chutzpah to be mezayeh v'shtar. But midrabanan you need kiyam. But when do you need kiyam? Only when the leiva tainas mezayeh. If the leiva doesn't taina mezayeh, I don't have to be mekayim. Oh, so what if the leiva dies, and now I go with the yisayimim, and the yisayimim don't know if it's mezayeh. They can't taina mezayeh. So what do we have? The halacha taka is, Tainina and liyasme, whatever the leiva could have tained it, and b'meila the makar for that is psach picha le'ilim. Right, so this is an important pasuk in the inyanim of taina, tainina and liyasme. By the way, just derech agav, nothing to do with mishlei at all. So what do we say? If a leiva taines mezuyev, the malva cannot collect the shtar until he's makayim the shtar. Now, just, something to do with Mishle, but just, since you mentioned the din of shtar, just be sure people understand how a shtar works. Now, let's say the malva is makayim the shtar. So once the malva is makayim the shtar, the leiva cannot say mezuyah. That's pashut. Right? It's makoyim. What if the leiva is, okay, it's not mezuyah, but I paid you, parati. Can a leiva say parati kinegadesh dharmakoyim. So it's a devar pashat, he cannot. And the reason is, because the malvis taime is, if you paid me, why do I still have the star? You should have taken the star. That's called starcha b'yadi, my boy. That is the status of edus. It's ki'ilu, the edim and the star are made, you still owe the money. Because the malvis is in possession of the star. Right, so all of that is pashat. But here is the shayla. What if a malve comes with a star she'enu makoyim? And the loive is maida, it's a good star, but the loive says he paid. So, is the loive naman until the malve is makayim the star? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Maida b'shtar she'kasvei. If the loive is maida that the star was written, but the loive says paraiti, tsarich l'kayman, must the malva be makayim the star? Or the malva doesn't have to be makayim the star because the loive is maida. So according to the mandiyama that says the malva has to be makayim, the taina would be the following. Even though there's a reis in what the loive is saying, of shtarcha v'yadi my boy, but it's a pesha asar, pesha hitir. Because the only reason we know the star is makoyim is only because the loive says it. So if you're going to be saimech on the loive that he was makoyim the star, you have to be saimech on the loive parati. Or it's amigos. It's machlekes exactly how we typed it up. Machlekes and taisis. Do I simply say the loive has amigo? If he wanted to lie, he could have said mezoyev. Right? And since he didn't say mezoyev, he said parua. You have to believe him because he could have said mezoyev. Or the other way of typing it is, it's a pesha asa. You only know it's a good star because the loive said it's a good star. He says paruah. So that's the mandamer that says, maida b'shtar shekasvei sarich l'taymai. The other mandamer says, maida b'shtar b'shasso ain't sarich l'taymai. Because we don't say the story of Pesha Asar, or we say it's a Migu B'mokom Eidem, because there's an Anan Sadeh, there's a good star. If you pay, why do I have the star? Okay, that's the Machlokes generally. But Chulayalma, if it's not Mekoyim, we will tie it up for the assignment that it's Mizoyim. Yeah. So this is the judge, this is really the mission. And Rav Chaim, you know, it's interesting. So although Chazal look at Psach Picha Le'ilayim, as the directive to the judge, Tainina, to a basin. But the emphasis is, in the history of Klal Yisrael, this was taken in a much more broader way. You know, around maybe 120, 130 years ago, some Yiddish newspaper in Europe, I don't know exactly what it was, interviewed many of the Gedalei Rabbanim about what they saw as the Iker Tafkit of a Rav. These were big people, Chaim Soloveitchik, big, you know, Gedalim. For some reason, they, you know, answered the newspaper. So the Aruch HaShulchan said, the Tachlis of a Rav is to Paskin the Shailas, the Halacha Shailas, to Paskin Shailas, that's what a Rav does. I mean, it sounds logical. Rav Chaim, actually, Rav Chaim hated the Paskin. That's actually true. He didn't like the Paskin Shabbos, so he didn't say that. Rav Chaim said, the Iker Tachlis of a Rav is Psach Picha Le'ilim. This was Bechlal, a tradition. The Beis Levi was the same way. I mean, it was two generations here from Beis Levi. The Rizk Rav had less of an occasion because the Holocaust, unfortunately, interrupted his Rabbanus. But in Europe, you know, there were Gevirim who controlled the cities, wealthy people. They controlled everything. And the Beis Levi and Rav Chaim stood up for the poor people who didn't have clout, they didn't have protexia, they didn't have influence. And they were sometimes in the woods. In fact, the whole big mice, what was it? This taka was with the Brisker Rav taka. But I mentioned that a rich guy made a bar mitzvah, just bar mitzvah, and it was the same day that a poor, very poor person was making a bar mitzvah for his son. Oh, no, this may be the Beis Levi. Maybe the Beis Levi. Listen to this, my son. Yeah, it must be the Beis Levi because this was the time under Russian czars This was called the Cantonists. You know the story of the Cantonists? Very, 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 very tragic. This is where the Russian governments would kidnap Jewish children from the age of 12 and put them in the Russian army for 30 years. 30 years. And these children were menutik legamri from Torah and mitzvahs. Then when they were, you know, 40, whatever it is, they get released back. Some of them became emistik abali tshuva, tzaddikim, and most were just totally lost. But what was even the bigger, tzara and tzara, was that the way they did it was they would order each city to come up with a certain number of kids. And the Jews would choose who they would deliver, Mamash Basira. And it was a situation that rich people would hire kidnappers to kidnap poor children and take the place of the rich ones. And we have Meisim that Rishol Salanter would stop the middle in Yom Kippur, he would stop in the middle and he would say, we cannot daven until we're paid at the Shavuot or whatever it would be, etc. It was all my side. I don't know all the details myself. Just some of you raised enough money, you could bribe them and get the kids released. There was a mamash, a big Oslo. So the story was this with the Beis Halevi. A gevir, a very wealthy, influential person, was making a bar mitzvah. And there was a shoemaker, a poor ani, who was making a bar mitzvah the same day. So the Beis Halevi was machlit to go to the shoemaker's bar mitzvah. Because he figured, not the Beis Halevi didn't want a bedavka be mavaza, the other guy, but the other guy, he says, he had all the Talmidei Chachamim of the town, the shoemaker had nobody. So he said he would go to the shoemaker's. How long was he going to stay? How long was the shoemaker's simcha? Maybe it was 15 minutes. And maybe the Beis Halevi could have gone to the other guy too afterwards. But what happened was that the gevir was so incensed, so bekas, that this insignificant nobody should get the rub of the city, that he was going to take Nekama. And he, Bedavka, pulled strings that when the Russian army was looking for somebody, he, Bedavka, arranged that they would take that kid. They would take that kid. And Mamish, you see what type of Nekama that was. It was a Shrekha Chetvim. So the Beis Halevi pulled all sorts of strings. Apparently this gevir was in charge of its stock of funds. The Beis Halevi somehow created a parallel fund, so all the money that people gave came to his fund, and all that money went to be paid to this person. But the point is, I'm just mentioning these stories, because both the Beis Halevi and Rav Chaim said that a Rav has to speak for the powerless, weak people, without influence and without chashivas and ekeila. And they quoted this yisayit, psach picha le'ilim. Those who can talk, those who have the money, those who have the power, they can manage their own life. But there are people that pashut have no influence at all. Who speaks for them? And in Europe, apparently, this was a big problem at various times, because the kehilas were dominated by very, very powerful, rich people. And they would sometimes, the aniyim got stuck. They got stuck. They got bread, whatever physical things they needed. But their children couldn't get into the yeshivas and the chadarim, whatever. Especially when the cantonist was, it was an awful tragedy. So even though psach picha le'ilam is a makor of tainin and liasmi, it also applies to that. Yeah. And it mentions two things. Psach picha le'ilam, El Din, and for the Din of Kol B'nei Chalif, all the children of those Chalif who have passed from the world. So that just seems a little different than the Gemara. That Psach Picha Le'ilem is referring to a Baal Din that's alive, who's not able to be Mesader his Tainus. And the Din of B'nei Chalif is Yesenin, whose parent has already chalif, has already passed from the world. So technically, the Gemara is quoting the wrong part of the pasuk. When the Gemara says that the reason we taina for Yisaimim is psach picha le'ilei, the Gemara says it's actually from the second part of the pasuk, El Din called B'nai Chalai. Okay, it's the same. It's the same idea. Okay. Now, then the next pasuk also says, Psach Picha, open your mouth, Shafat Sedek, judge in righteousness, V'din Oni V'yevyad. So, what is Shafat Sedek? So here, there are two different inyanim here. And this is Taka, still Ali B'diyam, it's a very, 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 very great problem. And that is, in every din, there are two inyanim that need to be decided. Number one, what is the din? What is the halacha? Right? Reuven versus Shimon. Who has the correct taina? But then there's a whole other problem. And that is enforcement. Let's say a Beis Din Paskins, a Melech Paskins, a Beis Din Paskins. Reuven owes Shimon money. Okay. But a Beis Din also has an achrayas to be sure that Shimon gets his money. It's not enough to give somebody a psak. You have a psak. Now that's, by the way, where the system doesn't work today at all. Because today, what can a Beis Din do? I mean, what does a Beis Din? A Beis Din Paskins. A Beis Din Paskins, you owe $500. All right. What happens if you don't pay?
Now, well, it's not arbitration agreements.
Yeah, yeah. So really, you need the secular court. That's correct. Without an arbitration agreement, what can a Beis Din do? Because my Eretz Yisrael maybe is a little better, but certainly in Chutz Lo'aretz it's never pleasure. What can a Beis Din do if somebody just says, I don't care what the Beis Din says? So Beis Din could put him in Cheirem. There could be a Shamta. Okay, there might be some things. But Beis Din cannot actually go today legally and take property. Now, when a Beis Din had a kayach in a Tyritika Medina, so like every court, the Beis Din could take your property, etc. Right? So the point is, it is the achrayas, right? So Shvat Sedek is that a dayan has to be borer, that the psak is an emistic psak. It's a true decision. Right, that's what's called having mesunin badin, to be patient, to think it out, to go over all of the study. Which, by the way, is yet another problem. You know, what they do today, there's so many problems in the basin systems, even in Eretz Yisrael, although Eretz Yisrael is much better than Chutz Lo'aretz in this way. And that is, most Rabbanim, you know, are not Bekiyim in Cheshen Mishpat. Cheshen Mishpat is not, you know, a person learns Bava Kama. How many people go through Halacha L'maisa, Bava Kama, Bava Nsiya, Bava Basra, right? So most Dayanim, if you go to a Beis Din today, they're going to ask you to accept what's called a Pshara. They're going to ask you to agree to a compromise, a settlement. They're not going to be Chaytich Al Pidin, because the Dayanim don't know what the Din is, and they don't have time to be Ma'ayan in the Din. It's like Yesh Mi'ayan. You know, they don't necessarily know what the Din is. So to try to be my ayin, you know, that's going to be a really long, long process. So it's a big obstacle. In fact, there was the Almighty Fechel Yashiv. I remember all the pratim. There was a soldier who was owed money. Oh, yeah. What happened with the Maisa? The Maisa was a soldier was owed like $3,000, and he got a check, and the check bounced. Now, apparently in Israel, there's something you have to know. In Israel, you can get in very, very big trouble for a bounce check. You can be arrested. You can be, you can go to jail. You know, it's much worse than America. Even a relatively small check is a big deal. So here's the problem, though. The guy who bounced the check was leaving for America that night. So on one hand, the chayal didn't want to get him in trouble, but the chayal wouldn't take immediate action to go to the police. There's a chance he would never get his money at all. But that goes to America, he's gone. So he wanted to ask a shayla, the halacha, if he was permitted to call the police, not to get the guy arrested, although the police might arrest him, but to put pressure on the guy to give him the check, give him replacement money. So he was stationed all the way up north, and he went, he asked his commanding officer, could he go to Yerushalayim for the day? It'd be like a 4-hour trip. To ask a shayla, and the boss says, why do you have to go? He says, well, I have to know if I could report somebody gave me a check and it bounced. Can I call the police? So the guy started laughing at him. You're going to ask a shayla? I says, if I were you, I would just call the police right now. He says, no, you have to ask a shayla. So he goes all the way to Yerushalayim, and, you know, to get, you know, even if you, you know, to get an appointment with Rabbi Yashiv is not so easy. I mean, even if you show up, you know, Rabbi Yashiv had this very short amount of time where he saw people. There are 100 people who have to see him. You know, you're not going to get a long time to ask him a shayla. But he comes in military uniform. He's wearing his green uniform with his machine gun. And he walks in. And Rabbi Yashiv doesn't see that many chayalim walk in with a gun. So he picked, you know, Rabbi Yashiv took him in. And he says, what are you doing? He says, well, I have a shayla to ask the Rav in Chayshin Mishpat. So Rabbi Yashiv says, Chayshin Mishpat? He says, who thinks Chayshin Mishpat is part of the Shulchan Aruch? He says, Chayshin Mishpat. He says, Rabbi Yashiv says, I never get shaylas in Chayshin Mishpat. So the person asked the shayla, and Rabbi Yashiv told him, on the etzem shayla, you can report it to the police, that's okay. Because it's masal miyadim. In other words, adam avid inish dina lenafshe b'makam seda, meaning to say, you can take the law into your own hands, if otherwise you're going to be mafsid. So calling the police is a way of taking the law into your own hands without going to a beis din. And since it's very probable that you would lose the money in the gamri, unless you took the step. But Rabbi Yashiv then said he was very, very impressed that a soldier would travel 4 hours and then another 4 hours back to ask a shayla dinei mamonos. And he gave the person a bracha that he should be matzliach and everything, because he says he's a person that has MS yiras shemayim. That's a nice story. You know, the kanoim were very, you know, shocked. You know, a soldier, a Zionist, he comes in. You know, Rabbi Yashiv gives him, you know, kedima among all the other people who were in the room. But it's a nice story that Rabbi Yashiv was machshav the person that he had yiras shemayim, that in the union of mammon, he wasn't going to, he might have lost $3,000. He was willing to totally not do anything until he had a psak halacha. So one problem in Dayanim is that they fail the first step. They don't paskin al pi halacha. But then there's a second problem. Even when there's a mishpat tzedek, even when there's a righteous judgment, they don't enforce it. So the Gra says, shvat tzedek is the etzem psak. The din ani v'evyayin is to protect the ani, to be mites. The ani is the one that's owed the money. To protect the ani by being mitesi the mamayin from the person who owes it. In other words, we'll call that the enforcement stage. That a judge cannot simply be happy, I paskin correctly, but he's mechuyev to be sure that we might see the gzela mitachas yadei. Now again, not mentioning an ani and an evyayim is kind of parallel to an ibed and a marei nefesh, although it's not exactly the same. An ani is a poor person who has something, and an evyayim is chasher legarmi. An evyayim is an extreme level of ani. Now it's interesting, this is getting ahead of myself. You know, the next part of the kapitel, starting from Pasuk Yud, is very, very famous. It's the end of the book of Mishlei. And these are the psukim that describe Eishes Chayo Miyimsa. And what's the Sheiches? Because this is Shlomo HaMelech's response to the Teichecha that his mother gives him. His mother gives him teichacha about marrying the right person and not wasting your strength on women that are just magusham, they're just physical. And Shlomo HaMelech, well, you can learn it two ways, actually. You can learn it a humorous way is, he's saying, Mom, what do you want? Eishes chayel miyimsa, I can't find anybody good. That's not a one shot, that Shlomo HaMelech has all these wives, you know. I don't have an eishes chayel, it's not my fault. Or the other way of learning is that he's actually being mishabeach his mother. This is Abi Pshat that he's saying. My mother is taka anashis chayel. And I listen to her lessons, I absorb her mussar, I absorb her hadracha. You know, according to that, anashis chayel is not a praise of any of Shlomo HaMelech's wives. It is a praise of his mother, who is the emistic Eishes Chayel. We're going to see, obviously, Eishes Chayel has meanings of the Torah and everything else, but the Pshuto, Ein Mikri Eishes Bei Pshutai, that the Pasha says it's going, this is his Kabbalah's Teichacha from his mother, which is a high Madrega, but that itself is a Madrega. To be able to be Makabel Musser, even though it's a starka, harsh Musser, is a high Madrega. Rabbeinu Yaina writes in Shari Tshuva that one of the Madregas of a Mevakesh Hashem, is to be Ohev Esa Teichachas. To love Teichacha. It's very hard to love Teichacha, because none of us, I include myself, none of us are so comfortable when somebody points out Chesronos in us. And yet, if a person really wants to work on Avodas Hashem, he actually welcomes any knowledge that can help him become a better person. Now, sometimes people say things which are not MS or hurtful, whatever it is, but one should try to think. They tell a Maisa with the Svas Emes. The Chedushi HaRim was the grandfather of Svas Emes, who's your first Gera Rebbe. And the Chedushi HaRim had 10 sons, and all 10 sons were Nifter. He lost all 10 sons. But the Svas Emes was the little boy of his last son, the last son who died. And so Svas Emes, I think, was 6 or 7 when his father was Nifter. So the Chedushi HaRim raised the Svas Emes. He used to learn with him. Svas Emes became, of course, the second Gera Rebbe. So the story goes that one time the Svas Emes was late for their Seder. And it was mamash an emergency, but he was late. And the Chedushi HaRim gave him a very stark teichacha, because the Chedushi HaRim expected him to be at a very high madrega. So he gave him teichacha and musr. And the Rebbetzin comes in, and she sees her husband really stark musr. And she says to him, "What do you want? What do you want?" And he had this and this excuse, which was a real good excuse. So the Chedushi HaRim says to the Svas Emes, "No leibish, why didn't you tell me?" So the Svas Emes said, "I wanted to hear the Zevi's Teichacha. I wanted to hear the Musar. I wanted to hear the Chesroinus that I need to work on." Now that's an amazing thing. Most of us, even when the criticism is Emes, we try to deny it. And here, the whole Musar was really unnecessary. And yet he wanted to be Makabel the Teichacha from his grandfather. So Eish Yischal Mayimsa, according to this, it actually is the Kabbalah's Teichacha. Shleimei HaMelech is Makabel the Teichacha. But the reason I'm bringing this in, really, just in the middle of it, it mentions in Pasuk Tes, you must protect the Ani and the Evyain. The Ani and the Evyain. The Ani is a regular Ani, and the Evyain is someone who has nothing at all. So I just wanted to point out, to get ahead of myself here, if you look at Pasuk Chaf of Eish Yischayel. So it's interesting that Shlomo HaMelech says, Kapa Porsa Le'oni V'yadeha Shilcha La'evyein. What does that mean? Her palm is spread out to give tzedakah, to help the Ani, and her hand is extended to the Evyein. Right? Also, Ani and Evyein. But there, the Gra says a very nice thing. The Gra says that Ani and Evyein refer to people who are poor in Tyra. And they're looking for Tyra. They want to learn. They want to grow. But the Ani is a person who doesn't feel the same desperation, meaning he sits at home, he wants to learn, but he's not willing to go from city to city, from place to place. In other words, he's very happy to learn, but he's not necessarily willing to give up things in that. So he's called an Ani because, in a sense, he doesn't feel the same desperation. The Evyein is the person who feels so much of a lack that he goes me'ir le'ir, as if he begs for a shtickle Torah. He asks one person, "Teach me this puzzle, you know, that puzzle." In other words, he's willing to be mavaza himself. He's willing to embarrass himself. The Ani is, wants to learn. It's a high madrega. but he's not willing to humiliate himself. Now, what do Chazal say? Lo habayshin lamed. If you're not willing, if you're too bashful, you know, you don't want to get embarrassed, you're not going to be zeicha so much.
Being embarrassed meaning to say, ask questions.
So the Gra says very beautifully, kapa is a closed hand, meaning it's not so open. So to the ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives siyata dishmaya, but it's a little more limited. It's closed, meaning you got to pry it open. To the evyan, who is willing to even suffer embarrassment, the yad is open. In other words, there's an agreement between kapa and yodeha. First of all, kapa is singular, and yodeha is plural, so it's two things. The ani gets siyata d'shmaya, one kaf. The evyain gets two open hands. So that's what the Gra says. It's a very beautiful diyuk, that a person who's willing to embarrass himself in order to learn, that level of Mesivas Nefesh gets a higher level of Siyata Nishmai, a much greater level of Siyata Nishmai. That's the Yoni and the Evyein. Kappa is, what's the Lashon again? The Lashon is, Stima Diyadin, right. Kappa is Stima Diyadin, the closed hand, and yodeha is psicha diyadin, the open hand. Although he doesn't say plural and singular, but I think it's a good diyuk as well, that kapa is singular because kapeha is plural, and sometimes Eish Yischael does say kapeha, but in this pasuk it says kapa. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm just bringing it that Bas Sheva's teichecha ends with protecting the ani v'yevyayim. And Shlomo HaMelech also talks about the Ani V'Evyayin, but that's the Ani V'Evyayin in Torah. But be this as it may, so now we begin the last and really most famous part of Mishle, the Eish Yischael Miyimtza, the woman of valor, and again the Ein Mikra Yetzim VePshuto, this is Vada Yeshevach of a wife and Akeres Habayis. But as I say, Shlomo might be referring to his mother, but it's describing his mother in her capacity as wife and mother. And Memela, the minhag of singing it Friday night, Lefi Pshutai, is Makusher. Again, one shouldn't deny the simple meanings of things. Is Makusher to the Akaras Atayv, to the Akaras Abayas, who created such an atmosphere of holiness in the house. However, the Gra does say that there are deeper meanings. And the meaning that the Mahalach of the Gra goes with, actually it's a little complicated, b'diuk, because different parts of the Perish seem to be saying different things. Of course, everybody knows that it's an Aleph base, right? It begins with Aleph, ends with Tav, as if to say that the Eish Yischael takes care of everything from A to Z, Aleph to Tav. You know, it's interesting, you know, the where my mother lives, there's another woman, one of her friends, who is the sister of Ben Sion Schenker. Ben Sion Schenker is a very, very famous Hasidic composer. And you may know this or not know this, but Ben Sion Schenker's Nigunim are so well known that they are sung everywhere. He wrote the most famous Nigun for Eish Yischael. Eish Yischael, that's Ben Sion Schenker, still alive. And he wrote Mizmor L'David. Right? That's Ben Sion Schenker, right? So he also wrote Menucha V'Simcha. So the other says he made Shabbos for a lot of people. I mean, the standard Nigunim that are in the... So somebody asked him, you know, today there are a few other Nigunim for Eish Yischael, but his is by far the most popular. His is like, you know, 90% of homes that sing Eish Yischael sing his. So somebody asked him, like, what did they sing? I mean, Eish Yischael is in Mishlei, and Yidden were saying it for hundreds of years. You wrote it, whatever it is, you wrote it 60 years ago. What did they sing beforehand? So they say the minhag was not to sing it. The minhag was to say it. They said Eish Yischael, but they didn't, there was no niggun for it. He was literally the first niggun for Eish Yischael.
Okay.
Yeah.
We said it back
No, I'm gonna try to check. I mean, Eitz Chayil is in the Tanakh, so obviously it's here. But the minhag of saying it Friday night, I have to check how far back. It's certainly not the Bais Rishon, that's for sure. I'll try to find out what is the earliest makor for saying Eitz Chayil. But where it's a little confusing is the following. Yeah.
That's the oldest song we. We'll turn it into a song. That's the oldest song we know. But it's not. But basically, it's not even a song. It became sort of a song.
Yeah, yeah. The song, the tune, as I say, is only 60 years old. The tune is not an ancient tune. Of course, Mishlei has a trap. Mishlei has itself a tune, but we don't really know what it is. And in fact, the three svarim. You know, Trep, there's not all of Tanakh has a Trep, but for the three swarm of Iyuv, Mishlei, and Tehillim, the Trep is different, so we're not bucky.
How do we know it's different?
It's brought down in swarm of Rishayim. These are called Tamei Emes. Emes, or Iyuv, Mishlei, Tehillim, are a different structure than the rest of Tanakh, but we're not really a bucky. Although I think Moroccans have something. They actually have a series.
There's
of,
a guy here.
Yeah. For example, even the meanings of the notes are different. For example, the asnachta, you know, that looks like the wishbone, that's the upside down U with a line. So in Torah and Nevi'im, and most of Ksuvim, an asnachta is a major break in a pasuk. It's like a comma or a semicolon. It divides. In Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyuv, it does not. It's mamshech. It continues. So the meaning of the punctuation is very, very different. In Tamei Emes, Sifrei Emes.
He meant it to be a song? That was his intention to make it a song, or it became a song?
No, it became a song. He didn't say it was to be sung necessarily. But where the Gra's a little confusing is this, because in most of the Mahalach, the Gra does say it's about Torah. But who is the Eishes Chayil? So in most of the Gra's comments, the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham who is married to the Torah. In other words, the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. Now, based on that imagery, if the poem talks about the Eishes Chayil and it talks about Batach Bal Leiv Baila, her husband has trust in her. The Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. So who is the Baal? Who is the Baal? So the Gra says at various places that the Baal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in a lot of the poem, the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham, and the Baal is the Talmud, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it says at the end of the Kapitel, for example, Kamu Bana Vayashruha Baila Vayahalala. Her sons will get up and praise her, and her husband will praise her. So the Gra says, Bonaha are the students of the Talmud Chacham, because your students are called your children, and Baila is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? In Olam Hazeh, the Talmidim praise the Rebbe, and in Olam Haba, the husband, the Eibishter, praises the Rebbe. So based on that, Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham, and the husband is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the children are the Talmidim. That's how most of the Mahalach goes. However, it's a little tricky because, and again, because in various other psukim, we'll look at it as we get to them, it's a little different. Eishes Chayil is the Torah. The Torah is the Eishes Chayil, and the Baal of the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. So, this is where the Gra is a little confusing. Sometimes the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham, and the Baal is the Eibishter. And sometimes the Eishes Chayil is the Torah, and the Baal is the Talmud Chacham. Okay, so we'll have to see how it works. But we do start off with this idea that the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham that's Makusher to the Torah. And what does Chayil mean? So this is a fascinating little shtickle. Chayil means valor, courage, on one level, of course. Torah takes a lot of discipline, a lot of courage, not to give up, to be willing to go ahead. But there's also a very nice gematria, because the gematria of Chayo is 48. And Pirkei Avos says that there are 48 ways that one is zoicha to acquire Torah. So the Yeshus Chayo is the Talmud Chacham who, by incorporating, working on his midos, incorporating the Memches Drachim, Shatayra Nikmes Behem, is zoicha to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. Right, that's the Chayel, right? The Chayel is the Gematria Memches. Now, Niyimsa also has a double meaning. Niyimsa means who can find, meaning to say, how rare it is, what a mitzia, more than jewels, to find a person who is zoicha to the Memches Drachim. In fact, skip ahead a little bit just to show you how he says at the end. If you look at Pasuk Chavtes, the Reish, Rabbis Banai Asu Choyel, V'at Olis Al Kulana. What does that mean? Many daughters, meaning many women, have done Choyel. They've done great things. V'at, but you, the Eishes Choyel, Olis al kulana, you have risen above them all. Okay, that's the pasuk. So the Gra offers this explanation. Banais, unlike Banim, which you're told, even Banais are other people who learn Torah, but they haven't reached the level of the wife. They're like the daughters. So Asu Chayil means sometimes you have Talmidei Chachamim, each one has some of the Memches Terachim, but not all of them. So this guy has 5 midos, and this guy has 10 midos. That's what it means. Rabos Banas Asu Chayel. Among the many, together they have the Chayel. Together they have the 48. But you, who have all the 48, Olis Al Kulana. Now, here though, what's interesting is, there are two versions of this comment. There's Rav Nachum Mendel's Haggah, and there's another thing from the Gra, and that is, and this is where it gets confused. Who is the At? No. That wouldn't be here. No, this is Rav Nachum Mendel of Shklov, was the Talmud of the Gra, who puts his Haggah. But this is Rav Nachum Mendel Schneerson in the Gra and Mishnah would be an interesting issue. Okay. See, this gets back to the confusion. Who is the At? See, let me just explain. The At is the Yeshus Chayel. But I had mentioned that there's a little bit of ambiguity in the Gra's Perish. Is the Yeshus Chayel the Torah? Or is the Yeshus Chayel the Supreme Talmud Chacham? So this comes out as an ambiguity, two different versions, how to translate Pasuk Chavtes. According to the view that At is the Torah, what it actually is saying is, and there is such a lashon, although it's hard to imagine the Gra would say this, he says, it's impossible for a single Talmud Chacham to have all the Memches Terachim. So, Rabbis Banos Asu Chayo. It takes many Talmudei Chachamim to have the Memches Terachim. Because each Talmud Chacham only has some of those characteristics. And that's why we have to work together, because you have this, and I have that, and you have that. But At, you the Torah, At, you the Torah, you're above the Madrega of any single Talmud Chacham. Because to be Zoicha to you, you have to have all the Memches. And based on that, At is even a remes, Aleph Tes, meaning you, the Torah, from Aleph to Tav, which includes everything. So according to that, what it actually is saying is, according to that, that's what it says, now they ask the Kaja, that no Talmud Chacham is Zoicha to the Memches. The Torah is Memches. The Torah is above everybody. The Torah is above everybody because nobody can have the Memches Terachim. That's one pshat. That's how Rav Nachum Mendel recounts the Gra. E efshir shehei la'adam kol ha-memches. That's the interpretation of Rav Nachum Mendel. However, the other interpretation is that Ati is going on that Talmud Chacham, the Gra himself. Meaning, many scholars only have the Chayil together, but Ati, the Eishes Chayil, is Zeichet Rav. You know, there's basically, this is where the Pasuk seems to be, this is where we get a little confusion, whether the Eishes Chayil is the Torah, or the Eishes Chayil is the Talmud Chacham. Right, the two different versions of how to touch up this puzzle. Now the reason that why I see how I have a footnote from a modern author who footnoted this, someone who's still alive today, and he doesn't like the statement that it's impossible for a Talmud Chacham to have all the Memchis. Because he doesn't believe the Gra would say such a statement, because he brings here from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, in the Hakdama, L'Safra D'Tzniyusa Al Rabbeinu. You know, the Safra, this is actually a very famous Hakdama, even for people who have very, very little Shaykh. Safra D'Tzniyusa, which means the book of the modest Tzaddikim, is a chelet of the Zohar. It's a very, very mystical, high, difficult part of the Zohar. So it's not for us to learn. And the Gra wrote a Perish on the Safra D'Tzniyusa. And again, that's beyond us. But the Hakdama of the Safra D'Tzniyusa, which is sometimes printed as a separate kuntres, is Rav Chaim Volozhiner's main essay where he describes the godless of the Gra. So Rav Aaron Kotler used to tell all his Talmidim to read the Hakdama to the Bir HaGra, the Safra D'Tzniyusa. So in the Hakdama, I'll just read you the quote, it says, Ubiemes, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, Lo niflis v'einai, kol maisa v'inyanot ha-nifloim. It is not a wonder to me about all the miracles that the Gra was able to do. He enumerates many miracles. Lefi, asher nafshi yaydas, my nefesh knows, v'einai ro, and my eyes see, Shekol ha-mem ches devarim, sha-tayra ha-kadaisha niknis v'hem. All of the 48 ways that you must have for the Torah to be fully acquired, kulam niskayim, every single one of them were niskayim b'Rabbeinu HaGadol v'HaKadosh, in our holy Rebbe, the iska b'Torah l'shma b'chol kaychay. And he was Isaac b'Torah with all of his kayach. So again, so they taina, it's a stira, because the Gra says, according to this version, E-Epsher, She-Lazam Kalam Memches, I, the Gra, had all Memches. Okay, but yeah, okay. That doesn't bother me so much. I mean, the Gra could have been speaking B'Anivas, number one. I mean, the Gra, what's the Gra supposed to write? It's impossible for anyone to have Memches except for me? Okay, I mean, he's writing B'Derech Klal. B'Derech Klal, it's E-Epsher. You have a Chad B'Derech that has, okay, so that's a... I mean, that's not, that doesn't undermine the fundamental point. Okay. But going back to the Eishes Chayil V'Yimsa, so again, you have two understandings here. Are we talking about the Torah? Are we talking about the Talmud Chacham? But the Mi'Yimsa is a very, very, he has an interesting kinach on this. But Pashtus, Mi'Yimsa, is a question mark. In other words, who could find such a rare person? But the Gra says you can also interpret it as a period. Who will find it? Only a person who is me. What do I mean by me? Me, who in Hebrew, right? Me means, you know, who am I? Meaning, you're zeichet to Torah by humility, by considering yourself nothing. When a person is ofar v'efer, a person is an anaf. So, eishes chayel, who will be zeicha to the memches derachin? A me, a person who's a nobody, meaning anava, modestly, yimtza. And the Gra quotes psukim that can be read the same way. It's says in Eov, again, the same kinech, ha-chochma me'ayin timotzei. Now, literally, that means me'ayin. From where will you find chachma? But you can touch it up this way. Chachma comes me'ayin, from nothingness. When you make yourself nothing, you get chachma. Same thing with another pasuk. Amayk, amayk, the Torah is so deep. Mi yimtza'enu, who can find it? But you can touch it up. Me, when I'm nothing, yimtza'enu, I will find. In other words, you see what the Gemara is interesting. Instead of it being a question, it's describing the type of person that is zeichet the Torah. Humility, humility. And of course, this plays out in many, many areas, because when a person has gaiva, he's not willing to work and be miyageya, he's not willing to ask questions. And also, because he's filled with his own glory, he's not willing to nullify his seichel, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. You say, Rav Aaron Cutler once said, he was miyageya 25 years, on one line in the Bir Hagra to try to understand it. He didn't understand the Bir Hagra. So he said, after 25 years, he was zeicha to understand it. He said, that is only because there was not 1 minute in the 25 years that he thought the Gra made a mistake. One could have the attitude, as great as the Gra was, okay, everybody makes a mistake, etc. So Rav Aaron said, I never thought I was right and he was wrong. And the Mela was Zeichet, because otherwise I would have stopped. If I just would have come to the Maskana that he was wrong, so I wouldn't go weiter. But when a person has this, I'm willing to be Mavato myself to the Torah, even if it doesn't make sense to me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up understandings that you otherwise wouldn't have. So that's the me imsa. When you're a me, who are you? You're nobody. Meaning there's no arrogance, there's no ego, there's no gaiva, then there's a yimtza. Now, what's interesting is, I'm just skipping around here, I just want to point out that the Gra makes an opposite point at the end, which you have to bring together. That is, when it says, Isha Yiras Hashem, Ki Tisalo. Right? Beauty is not worthwhile, but a woman with Yiras Hashem is praiseworthy. Now here you have to know a little bit of diktuk. Tis halal, which we translate as praiseworthy, is in the Hebrew construct which is called hispalel. Hispael. Hispael is when you do something to yourself. So for example, lirchotz is to wash. So I could wash a table. Ani rochetz es ha-shulchan. Lehisrachetz means to wash yourself. Now again, modern Hebrew is all messed up, so in modern Hebrew, they actually don't always have this. You say, ani rachatzti hayom, could mean I took a bath. They're not so, they're not so meticulous. Modern Hebrew is actually not as sophisticated a language as Biblical Hebrew. They made it easier for people. That's why I give myself an excuse for not being such a bucky in modern Hebrew. But in Biblical Hebrew, you could not say ani rachatzti bayam cannot mean I took a bath. I would have to say ani hisrachatzti bayam. So therefore, tis halal actually means she can praise herself. And the Gra says that when a person is zeicha to madregas and ruchnias, they should praise themselves because they should be machshav, they should consider it significant. You can't walk around and say, I did nothing with my life. It's not a gaiva, it's not an arrogance, but it's a certain good pride that a person accomplished something worthwhile. That's called vayig, it's a pasuk, vayigbal libay b'darchei Hashem. His heart was high in the derech Hashem. In fact, he even says, it's an interesting drush, it says in Mishlei, earlier, Yahalelcha zor velo picha. Let strangers praise you and not your own mouth. In other words, you shouldn't be the one who prays it yourself. But we read it this way. Yalel chazor, strangers should praise you. Velo, and if they don't, picha, praise yourself. Anyway, yalel chazor, veloi, let it be picha. You understand what's going on, because a person has to have self-esteem in life. You have to be proud of your accomplishments. You can't constantly say, I've done nothing, I've done nothing, I've done nothing, I've done nothing. Because a person can't live that way. After a while, you know, you're not going to keep on working if everything you feel is I do nothing. So mimela, on one hand, we have the Eishes Chayil Mi Yimsa, as a person is zeichet to Torah only if he's a me, he's mavatal himself. But Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasalo is the idea of a Yigba Libay B'Darche Hashem. So you have to combine. It's really Kiyain, the very famous Hasidic word. If I could bring it out, I could bring in the Hasidic words here. A lot of people think it's a Chazal. It is absolutely not a Chazal. It is a Hasidic word from Rav Bunim of Prashiska, who was the Rebbe of the Chiddushi Arim. This is pre-Ger, but he was a Talmud of the Kutzker Rebbe. That is, a person has to have in his two pockets at all times, in one pocket, the thought, Anaychi Afor Va'efer, I am dust, I am ashes, I am nothing. And in the other pocket, Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam, Hashem made many cows and many goats, but only one human being, maybe one man and one woman. So each person, every person, has to say, the whole universe was created just for me. You have to consider yourself chashuv enough that Hashem would have made everything just for you. So that's a stira, right? That's a contradiction. I'm nothing, bishvili nivra ha'elam. That's exactly what the guy is saying. Right? Eishes Chayil Mi Yimtza? Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasalo Vayigba Libay B'Darche Hashem. Right? So, but this is actually why, you know, sometimes you see that in Europe, they made a big deal, less so today maybe, because whatever, but in Europe, they made a big deal about B'nai Torah dressing fairly elegantly. If you look, a lot of this stuff was not to be yeshivish. What we call yeshivish, it was actually to be stylish. So in Poland, and you know, a gentleman, a gentleman would wear a hat, you know, a nice suit, right? So the idea of, you know, dressing up in a nice way was actually to be elegant. And there actually was an idea that B'nai Torah should look very, very dignified and elegant. Part of it was Kiddush Hashem, that people should respect them. But part of it also was that they should have a certain culture of feeling chashuv, feeling like B'nai Malachim. Because, they didn't have money, they weren't making parnasa, etc. And a person sometimes feels, what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? So you had to have a sense that you were an aristocrat, you were a great person, you were a chashuv person. Right? So people needed that. There had to be kind of a bishvili nivrahayim. Sometimes it turned into a shtickle gaiva, that's Amos. We have different stories about B'nai Torah a little bit looking down at other people, which is not the right thing. But there has to be a healthy pride in what a person's doing. Otherwise, you don't function. So that's how it. So again, you see how diktik is important. Actually, the Gra says in other places that diktik is very important. The Gra says diktik is a mafteach to understanding Chazal, because Chazal darshan many lessons from psukim. Adadata is from psukim, and if you don't understand the grammar, so tishalal is a very good example, right? Otherwise, you just translate it: a woman with yiras shamayim should be praised. But if you know that it's a hispoil, she should praise herself, then you see a whole other nekuda by yigba libay b'darche Hashem. Yalol chazor v'loy, it should be picha. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Is a Talmud Chacham. In that case, by singing the song of Eishes Chayil, it's in a way he's praising himself.
Well, only if it's just on the kachem.
Yeah, but in a way, to praise Torah, that's giving honor to somebody else. But a person praising himself, it's like, it's very selfish thing to do. It's like, I'm so great that it's like if he would imply that the Tom Muhammad is an Ashes Ram, it's like a person singing a song, how great
he is. I hear what you're saying, but. So as I said, first of all, even in the Vilna Gaon's own commentary, it's not clear, as I say, is Eishes Chayil a praise of the Torah or a praise of the Talmud Chacham, right? There are two different versions, exactly, of how the Gra goes through this. But still, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but again, the purpose of the song is not to praise the individual. It's to praise the ideal of what a Talmud Chacham is. It's like you're describing the ideal person. If you happen to be it, then Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
But you're not saying it with reference to you. And besides that, I do want to emphasize too that Chazal say that the simple meaning of a pasuk all still remains emes. So this is indeed a praise for the wife. Now it's interesting. I mean, you know, see, it's interesting when let's say we sing Eishes Chayil, right? We're in Yeshiva Diamond when we sing Eishes Chayil. Taka, what are we thinking? I mean, it's interesting. You know, when a married man sings Eishes Chayil at home, he vadai has to be mechaben, in addition to everything else, that he's expressing hakaras hatayv to his rebbetzin. That's for sure. Then the other meanings are other meanings. But it's interesting, when we sing Eishes Chayil, let's say, in the yeshiva, what do we mean? I'm sure we give thanks to the cooks, you know, maybe, but it's not my Eishes Chayil, it's not Stamma's idea. You know, so it's mashma that we bedavka should be mechaben. I mean, you know, when you're eating in the dining room, you should be mechaben bedavka, the union of Torah and the union of the Talmud Chacham. So it's interesting. So what is not the Pashat Pshat, let's say, in a home, might become the Pashat Pshat when you're in the yeshiva. Or the like. So that's an interesting point. Why? I have to check. Was it always? You know, I'm not even sure exactly if Eishes Chayil was sung in yeshiva. So I have to check that if it was.
It's for Shabbos
Malchus. Shabbos Malchus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Gra doesn't go with that Malchus, but you're correct. Many say the Eishes Chayil is Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos, and which actually fits because you see that. The Eishes Chayil is praised very much for the parnasa she brings to the house. She's industrious, she works hard, she brings fields, and she has ships, you know, really successful businesswoman. Now that actually fits very nicely with Shabbos, because it says that Shabbos is the makor of parnasa and bracha. So that makes sense, that Kedusha Shabbos brings in all of these different, dinyanim. Yeah. Yeah, the Gra for some reason doesn't go with that mahalach, but yeah, that vada is a mahalach in Midrashim. Okay, all right, maybe we'll stop here. I.